This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Arizona Congressman Trent Franks, a Republican representing the Grand Canyon State 2nd Congressional District. He's also a member of both the House Armed Services and Judiciary Committees. We want to get his thoughts on a number of topics, including his personal perception of the president's appearance at the Republican House Conference retreat late last week in Baltimore. We also want to get his thoughts on what the president had to say about the war on terror and some other issues in the State of the Union address. And Congressman, thanks as always for your time.
Well, Greg, I can, you know, we always say it's great to be with you, but it really is great to be with you. You're a Valley Forge American, and I just wish more hosts were like you and that we could really get the facts out to the folks.
Well, I definitely appreciate that, sir. Very kind of you. The big story at the end of last week in the wake of the president's State of the Union address, of course, was his appearance before the House Republicans at your retreat in Baltimore. You all talked about a lot of different issues, mainly the economy and health care, and a little bit about the political climate in Washington. Has anything changed as a result of that session?
Well, you know, I mean, I hope so, Greg. I mean, I was genuinely grateful to the president for coming, and of course, you know, the decision to televise it, I think, is probably a good thing. Now, it does give the president in our system a distinct advantage because he has one contiguous voice against a lot of other voices, and sometimes I think his message is able to break through a little better. And so I want to try to give credit where it's due. But I will say this to you, and you understand I'm a Republican and really serious about being a Republican, so my thoughts are somewhat partisan. But the reality is, There has been a profound schism between the president's remarks, what he says, and what his policies reflect. I don't know how he does it, but he is extremely charismatic. He's articulate, well-spoken, eloquent, all of those things. But his policies are those that, if fully implemented, will lead this country down the path to disaster. And how you reconcile his words and actions is a pretty big challenge.
Did you get the sense, sir, that he's willing to give in on a few areas to pass certain priorities of his? Or is it basically, you're not understanding where I'm coming from, so you guys need to understand?
Well, he is. You know, he said he wasn't an ideologue in that meeting. I mean, I was not very far away from him when he said that. But, I mean, I started to say, well, I'm a cross-eyed astronaut, then, because he certainly is. This is a liberal ideologue of the first magnitude. And so, yes, I think that the latter is unfortunately the case, that he would continue to force these policies if he could. And fortunately, the people are waking up, and they're giving some of the blue dog Democrats, some of those on the fence, a little more courage, and also, I think, a little bit more concern about the people's response to shoving things like government health care down the folks' throat. I think that this is an ideologue president, and he primarily just doesn't think the rest of us understand.
We're talking with Arizona Congressman Trent Franks. And Congressman, what will be the telltale sign here in the coming weeks? We just saw the budget today. We'll see other policy proposals coming down the pike. What will be proof in the pudding for you that what the president said at that retreat is actually backed up in his policies, because you don't believe it's happened to this point?
Well, I think we'll have to look for something different because, you know, he came to us at the beginning of the year and was even more conciliatory and open and wanting to pull everybody together, as it were, when he met with Republicans the first of the year. And then after that, we were completely, categorically shut out of the process. Not only were our ideas not heard, but he pretended that we didn't have any ideas. Now, the good thing that happened as a result of this thing in Baltimore, where we got a face-to-face dialogue, he had to admit unequivocally that we had presented ideas. I mean, we had 40 health care bills in the system, and so we certainly had put forth things in writing in formal terms, and he admitted that, and I think that's a start. So I guess the thing we have to look for is, in fact, will there be a follow-through? Will there be any opportunity to debate some of our ideas on the floor? And I obviously know that Nancy Pelosi controls that mechanism significantly, and you can't blame all that on the president, but the president should come out and say these things should be debated. We should have an open process. In fact, he did at one point, said it should all be on C-SPAN, and of course it was all behind cement walls. So it's reconciling the words with the practice, it's just a challenging thing for us.
Congressman, you and I have talked many times about international foreign policy, national security issues as well, and I want to get your thoughts on what the president said in his State of the Union message. Many of his critics said that perhaps the most alarming thing was just how little time he spent on those issues. Others say he should have spent time on at least mentioning Fort Hood and more specifically the terrorist threat on Christmas Day. He did talk a little bit about, of course, Iraq and Afghanistan and some other issues and talked again about preserving liberties and keeping America secure. What, if anything, struck you most from that portion of the speech?
Well, you know, I know I've been a critic of the president's economic policies because I think they tend towards socialism, and I've been a critic of his constitutional understanding because I think he simply overlooks the very foundational constitutional bedrock of the nation. But I will tell you, one of the greatest dangers that this president represents, in my judgment, to the country is his, at least short term, is his fundamental misunderstanding of just how serious jihad and the coincidence of Islamic terrorism with nuclear proliferation. I'm on the Strategic Forces Committee, which also deals with all of our nuclear profile and our missile defense and these types of things. And this president, his policies have absolutely gone in fundamentally the wrong direction. And he's given Iran a much stronger position than they've ever had. If Iran gains a nuclear capability, terrorists in the world will gain it shortly thereafter. And we will live in a different world entirely. It will push all other issues off the table, I'm afraid. And this is one of the things I'm definitely concerned about. And I was sorry that more foreign policy issues or defense issues, national security issues, weren't focused on in Baltimore as well. But, yes, he just simply doesn't understand. This idea of putting KSM on trial in New York, you know, I said when they first did it, I said the wheels will fall off of this. This is a fundamental disaster. And it's still not played out yet, Greg. The idea of putting terrorists in civilian trials has so many profound dangers to it. Again, not the least of which is a recognition that the president fundamentally misunderstands how serious jihad really is.
Congressman, if you could advise him on just a couple of policies that you think ought to be reversed or just a philosophy you think he needs to comprehend and embrace, what would it be?
Well, the first thing I would say is to immediately build a missile defense shield in Poland and Czech Republic, because that will tell Iran that even if you gain a nuclear warhead on your Shahab missiles now, we will be able to interdict them immediately, and you will gain no advantage. And do you want to take all the risks that is entailed by trying to move in that direction when you know that we've basically inoculated against it? Because, you know, Iran faces potentially a response from Israel or God knows who, including maybe the United States at some point if we ever wake up. But a missile defense shield there would take away a lot of their motivation for building that system. It would devalue it and hopefully devalue the whole program to the extent that we wouldn't see this thing that I am concerned about, potentially nuclear terrorism, coming on the scene. That's one. The second, quickly, would be when we're talking about jihadist terrorists trying to attack this country, they should be, in almost all circumstances, I can't think of any right now that wouldn't apply, be tried in military tribunals. There's just so many reasons for that. It's hard to articulate all of them in the short time I have.
Congressman, very important issues, and we look forward to checking back in with you soon. Thank you, sir, for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. Keep doing what you're doing.
Arizona Congressman Trent Franks, Republican from his state's 2nd Congressional District. He sits on both the Armed Services and Judiciary Committees in the House. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.